Let the momentum of the car do the work for you. It's all in the race.
Not bad. Now you want to see a thing of beauty? Bingo, bingo, bongo.
That's good. It's good to be positive despite making zero progress in a year.
You thought that they had disappeared forever, but this is the moment we've all been waiting for. Ladies and gentlemen, the four horsemen, the girl horsemen.
Woo! Yeah! Nope.
Are you listening, horsemen? You will get what's coming to you.
Thank you, everybody!
In ways you can't expect.
Hey, it's great to be back.
Magicians in the world are my magic trick.
Everyone get off the stage.
We jumped off a rooftop in New York.
Where the hell are we?
America!
You landed in China.
How is this possible?
This is simply my move. Next one is yours.
Now you see me too. Or now you don't. Ooh. I think I like that title a little bit more. But we're talking about the sequel to the 2013 hit, Now You See Me, with the returning cast, all except, damn, who's that chick? I forgot her name already. Well, she's got replaced with Lizzie Kaplan, who is effing hot in this film, mind you. And what we see is the return of the Four Horsemen. Give a plot synopsis here. So you got a... Let me go ahead and break down the Four Horsemen. You got J. Daniel Atlas, yes, Jesse Eisenberg, Mark Ruffalo. Well, I guess he's the fifth horseman in the wheel. He's their leader. Dylan Rhodes, Woody Harrelson, Merritt McKinney, Dave Franco, Jack Wilder, and Lizzie Kaplan as Lula, who comes in to replace. I do not remember what her name was in the first one. Damn, I guess that left an impression on me. I remember enjoying the first one. So much that I think I gave it a low C it, but that ending is just so fucking awful. I probably would have to. I remember walking out of there having fun though with this, a lot of the scenes in here. Will the same be said for this film? Well, let's go ahead and give a plus nom a C. So the Four Horsemen, after their big stunt in the first movie, they've been underground for a year now, and pretty much Jesse Eisenberg's character, Daniel. He's been kind of secretly trying to meet up with the Eye, which you find out at the end of the first movie, which was part of that stupid-ass ending. And I still think that the Eye in this movie is stupid as fuck as well. Basically, and the Eye is pretty much prepping him up to say, hey, man, Dylan, Mark Ruffalo's character, Dylan, you want to take his spot? You want to be a leader? Then step up to the plate, baby. Look out for you, baby. So, you know, they end up getting the team back together, only to have a trick backfire in their face when a tech, I don't want to say guru, but he says science a lot in film, but I'm going to go ahead and tech son, who we find out to be Daniel Radcliffe, kind of tricks them and plays the game on them and secretly getting them to get to China. How he does this is with the help of Woody Harrelson's twin brother, played by Woody Harrelson. I don't remember his name in the fucking movie, and I don't think it's really that goddamn important, to be honest, because that character was fucking annoying. Later find out that Daniel Radcliffe is the son of Michael Caine in this film. He plays Arthur Tressler, and I'm not going to lie, I don't remember a damn thing what Michael Caine's character was in the first film. Morgan Freeman's in jail. Mark Ruffalo, he's been busted by this Daniel Radcliffe trick on him and the whole Four Horsemen. So now Sanaa Lathan is in charge of the police department, and she's awful in this film. And they're on a hunt to get Mark Ruffalo's character, and along with the Four Horsemen. Although Sanaa Lathan really isn't selling it that she really wants to get Mark Ruffalo. And meanwhile, the Horsemen find themselves in a dubious deed that the money that they stole in the first film indeed belonged to businesses of Daniel Radcliffe. And he has a gimmick of them sneaking into this area, I don't know what the fuck it was, where they steal this chip, and this chip has access to every computer in the world, and it can get Daniel Radcliffe anything they want. He promises that he can clear the Four Horsemen's names, and that they can be anything and anything they want to be, and move on with their lives and escape this whole Four Horsemen thing. Or he can just kill him, like he says in the movie. So they kind of agree to do it, only with the intentions of Jesse Eisenberg kind of going into business for himself, trying to give this chip to the Eye, or meeting up with the Eye, who he thinks to believe, only to be double-crossed once again by Daniel Radcliffe. But Daniel Radcliffe's character is always one step ahead of him, and he keeps saying, science, it always outweighs over magic. There's also a subplot in here where the movie opens up with Mark Ruffalo showing his father was a magician. And the reason why he had this vendetta against Morgan Freeman is because he thought Morgan Freeman was against his father. Only to find out that these two were partners and that they worked together in the film towards the end. And that Morgan Freeman is almost kind of like the leader behind the whole thing. Like he is a part of the Eye. I know. Convoluted. I know. And thus the Four Horsemen pulling off the biggest magic trick they can to expose Daniel Radcliffe's character, who plays Walter in the film. And the reason why is that Daniel Radcliffe faked his death and he's hidden off the grid. That way nobody knows what he's doing or could accuse him of doing, because how can you accuse a dead man of stealing and stuff like that? So their whole plan is to not only clear their names, but expose this man and reap him of the benefits of the charges that he should be brought to justice. And there goes your plot synopsis. Okay. My positives of the movie, I'll go ahead and say it. The opening magic stunt that they did at the airport, I don't know what this was. I guess it was the event to where this magician was going to go on stage, but they kind of made him pass out. And they took like this whole like a heist style setup or whatever just to get on stage, and I thought they did a really good job with the magic in here. The card trick you see where Dave Franco throws the card and it spins around, and I think it was Lizzie Kaplan that caught it. They do that spectacularly, amazing. It is like cool as fuck how they show you how this just slides on. And that was cool at first too, how they showed you how some of the magic tricks worked. I actually was enjoying that. Problem with that card trick though is that scene goes on and it feels like forever. This movie is about an hour and 55 minutes, I believe. And I think you really could have slimmed some of that down. And I think the biggest... finish my positives more. The Four Horsemen here, they all got good chemistry together. They work together. But you don't really care for them. I'm not going to lie. I mean, I think they had bigger parts in the first movie, if you ask me. They almost kind of felt like more background characters here. Daniel Radcliffe, I thought he was great playing the character he was. I mean, I saw, like, you know, different shades to his character as far as how he could just switch his tone up from being violent to just cheerful, just damn near almost being kind of oblivious in some ways, almost in his dumb mannerisms in here. Morgan Freeman is just gonna sit here and talk like this for the whole movie and tell you, I can tell you what you want to believe because I'm Morgan Freeman and I approve of this message. Mark Ruffalo, I thought he was probably the best thing going for the movie. He had a kind of a backstory along with his father, you know, trying to wonder how, you know, what happened to his father. It's funny, they never say if his, I guess they're assuming that his father's dead, but it's like, did they find a body? Because if they didn't find a body, then I'm assuming that he escaped and he's running around somewhere. But I think he has the most, and he has some cool little magic tricks as well too that he does when he's in this fight scene. And even when Sanaa Lathan and all the cops grab him, he kind of takes the handcuffs off and switches it on all of them. That was cool. I thought his character was probably the best thing going in this film. Now let me get my negatives now. Sanaa Lathan, as beautiful as you are, you look like you was just terribly miscasted for this. I mean, there was not once in this film I believed you to be an FBI agent. There's a scene where they're about to, when they first find out that, oh, Mark Ruffalo is working with them, he's the fifth horseman and stuff like that. This girl got on a straight skirt and everything. It looked like she was going to a party, not ready to bust a Four Horsemen thing or whatever. If they're the some most dangerous criminals on your list and stuff like that, this girl looked like she was nowhere near ready to be busting in there. And not to mention, she is terrible in her acting in this film, by the way. I mean, there are scenes in here where she's like it's almost like she's on the borderline confusion if she wants to take Mark Ruffalo in. And it's just like, you don't really know what her connection towards him is. And you're just like, okay, why does she keep caring about who he is? He works with the Horsemen. You want to take them in. What more do you need to know? I mean, I don't think she was just as aggressive in this movie as far as wanting to take them down. She seemed like she just wanted to know. It's almost like it was damn near, I'm not going to lie, I was waiting for her to say, I want to join you guys at the end of the film, pretty much. I don't think she was, as far as if the capturing the Horsemen were their main priority, I never once got that initiative that was her main goal in the film. Another negative I have here is, what I think the first one has is better over the film, which I don't even think that movie is that amazing. I think it has some great action scenes in it, especially that car trick with Mark Ruffalo and Dave Franco was just incredibly amazing. And here, although I did like how some of the car stuff was shown into detail and how they somewhat explained it, every magic trick after that is explained in very high detail. And I'm here to say, I do not want to know. And maybe I'm one of the few, because I've heard some people say they wanted to know how some of this stuff was pulled off. It's like, how are you going to explain this, but you don't explain, you know, the Jesse Eisenberg disappearing into the rain and stuff like that, like you see in the trailer or whatever. You know, and for me personally with these movies, I would prefer if they just didn't explain it to me. That's just me, but when they was getting into explanation of how the later half of the magic tricks that were being done, it didn't feel as special or like a spectacle anymore. It just felt like, oh, you know, I like believing that you guys could do amazing shit that nobody could just understand. And I don't want to understand it personally, but now that you're breaking it down and explaining it, I'm looking like, yeah, this is actually kind of weak, to be honest. It's actually really weak. Negative here as well, Woody Harrelson's twin brother, fucking awful. He's awfully fucking annoying, I have to say. And there's parts in here where I'm trying to figure out, like, why was he even in here, and why, what was his purpose? Because he really doesn't do a damn thing except kind of exposes the Horseman's plans, when, because he kind of has this edge up over his brother, if you will, over, you know, Woody Harrelson, the Four Horsemen character here. He has a step up over him by, you know, just because I guess he could read his brother really well. Because, you know, obviously, they grew up together. Of course, you gotta know who he is. And you can just kind of read him and tell what he's doing and stuff like that. Other than that, he serves no fucking purpose in there. I was kind of getting annoyed by him. Lizzie Kaplan, either you're gonna like her or you're gonna find her annoying. I somewhat liked her because I thought she had, like, some energy bringing to the film. But I can see where she hits borderline annoying for some people. Excuse me. Michael Caine, when he came back, I just looked down and was like, damn, what was his... I don't even remember what he did in the first film. Was he arrested or shot or something like that? I don't remember. And Morgan Freeman, man, the way they turned this all around with him and just made him, oh, he was my dad's partner, and Mark Ruffalo and him are now having a good time and stuff. I was like, where the fuck did they pull that out their ass? Like, this movie amazes me with these endings. Both of these movies, the first one and the second one, is just these endings that they pull out of their asses. Now, I can suspend my disbelief for a lot of shit, but this movie and this sequel, more so than the first one, makes you succeed, just extend your disbelief a hell of a lot more than that first one did. Where the first one, I thought, was having a little bit more fun because it didn't take itself so serious. It kind of knew what it was, and it was just having, you know, a good time. This one has somewhat of a good time, but I feel like they want to shred it down by being a little bit more serious. And like I said, with the explaining of the magic tricks, it might as well just be called Exposition, the movie. And I didn't hate this movie as I was watching it. Hell, for the two-hour time span it has, I wasn't even trying to say, hurry up, let's wrap this up. I guess because maybe I was just waiting for that one magic trick that they do that wows me like that one it did in the first movie with the Mark Ruffalo and the Dave Franco scene. And I don't think I per se got that in this film. You know, the card trick, they really wear that one out, because I'm guessing that scene I just described in the first one, that was probably the highlight of the movie. And in here, they really do wear out these goddamn cards. There's another problem I have with this film, is that halfway through it, I kind of gave up on trying to follow out what the story was. I personally just did not give a shit about what the story was going on. Matter of fact, that whole thing with the chip and Daniel Radcliffe wanting to do it to get in computer stuff, I completely just... It's not that I... Well, it is that I didn't care, but it was just like... I'm kind of ignoring that and putting that in the background. I think it's one of those things where it was like literally... probably one of the stupidest plots ever. So I was just like, I'm gonna black that out and just focus on watching the Four Horsemen. But they're barely given anything to do on screen, and because they're trying to have this serious drama of, oh, they have to get the bad guys and stuff like that. And then, you know, Mark Ruffalo, he has to coincide with the death of his father, and, you know, the whole Morgan Freeman playing the games on him and stuff like that. And there's even a point in this fucking movie too where Mark Ruffalo asks him, when he finds out, like, oh, you were partners with my dad, he's like, but I throw you in jail. It's like, why didn't you say anything before or whatever? And he just says, well, I don't know really at that time, but now I can tell that you just wasn't ready. You know, I was like, what the fuck? They really just didn't have shit to write there. And, you know, looking at the director here, this is a guy, John Chu, Asian director from California, and he's done, you know, I'm gonna go over some of his credentials, if you will, and Step Up 2, The Streets, Step Up 3D. I liked Step Up 3D actually. Whatever, it had a lot of cool ass dance. He knows how to film some cinematography shots and stuff like that. I mean, he knows how to get some good dance scenes too, which is funny because this movie had, I won't say terrible editing issues, but there was a couple of editing issues I noticed as well, as far as people's place and where they're standing in one moment, and then when the camera zooms out, they're like completely doing a whole different motion and shit like that. That just kind of stood out to me for a little bit, but it was never nothing. I was just like, oh, that just looks so fucking awful. He did the Justin Bieber documentaries, the Believe and the what was that other one? Never Say Never, I think. G.I. Joe Retaliation, The RZA. Come on, Blind Sorcerer. Oh, he did Jim and the Holograms too. And he's scheduled to do Now You See Me 3, and which has been announced as well, too. Who's the writer on it? Oh, it's Ed Solomon. Oh. Oh, God. People, if you don't know who Ed Solomon is, that guy wrote Mario Brothers, the Super Mario Brothers from 1993. You might remember that little classic. Jesus Christ. I think, if I'm not mistaken, he did... he also did the screenplay for the first Now You See Me and Charlie's Angel, and I believe he did Men in Black as well too. Let me look this up. Yeah, he did Men in Black. Yeah, so yeah, he wrote all those films. God damn, Mario Brothers is a piece of shit. And kind of somewhat of the writing of this film as well. I think the movie kind of loses its touch the longer it goes on with just trying to have fun with the magic here and stuff. And you know, the one magic trick I was really looking forward to was the water one you see in the trailer. And I gotta say, it looked 20 times better in the trailer. And I don't know if it's just because that trailer is such a quick snip of it where it's just like stopping the rain and it just goes up. So it's kind of longer in this scene. And when it's shown, it's kind of, it's long. And it's also just like, it wasn't even that fun or interesting, to be honest. Like, at first it was, but then when it happened, the longer it went on, you just kind of like, oh, well. I wonder if it's just one of those things where I saw it in the trailer, so it's like, here, it just doesn't interest me. Even though that's what I was waiting for, and that's at the end of the movie, too, people. Overall, let me go ahead and wrap. I don't really have much to say about this film. I mean, I don't have the negative I have on here. It's just like, it's not spiteful negative on how the fuck could you do this and blah, 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 that or whatever, you know. Or my positives here, they're not really strong enough to make you say you need to go see this or anything. So, like, I guess that just boiled down to a mighty good old regular streaming. I think there's some good things in here, and I think some people might have some fun with the first 20, 25 minutes. After that, it might start feeling like work, because you're really going to have to be trying to put this together as far as the plot goes. It gets a little convoluted. And as far as the magic tricks go, they kind of take the work from you as far as you putting it together, how they did it, and just do it for you. And it takes the excitement out of the film, if you ask me. I think the only thing that could probably grace this film is their next magic trick is Jesse Eisenberg show me that he can play a believable Lex Luthor.
Somebody got the better of us, okay? Somehow.
Yes, you were lured into a trap.
Ta-da! This is the key to every computer system on the planet. I want you to steal it for me.
We're still gonna play a little game.
But I know you will.
We're going out with the show. People will never forget.
Do that myself.
Thanks for having us.
Not long ago, we were tricked.
Let's go, let's go. So it's only fitting that we do the same thing to the person who did it to us.
Damn, it feels good to be back.
Hello, hello.
Stop.
Take it, go on.
There's always more than what's on the surface.